Welcome, everybody, to the fall edition of Travel People, Living Authentic Lives, Finding Kindred Spirits, Fulfilling Dreams. So, to quote Game of Thrones, winter is coming. And for those of us who have enjoyed outdoor spaces where we live, we felt safer during this pandemic, being able to get outside, spread out on patios and, you know, big pavilions and parks and things like that. Some of us are a little bit concerned with how we're going to get together with family over the holidays, and because maybe where we are, it's just too cold to do that. So we're going to talk today. This episode is really for seasoned snowbirds. It's for families wanting to gather in a place warm enough to be outdoors during the holidays. It's for parents who are working from home and you have children that are in school remotely and you're trying to play, you know, in this case, mom and teacher. And also those of you who maybe you've had enough of family for a while and you need a winter getaway, maybe a road trip. And finally, those of you who are wanting to buy a home or one day relocate to a beautiful beach. In fact, a beautiful island we're going to talk about. So our guest today, this is Morgan Henderson. She is a wife, a mom, and I'm going to let her tell you about all the other hats that she wears. So Morgan, take it away.
Thank you, Cindy. So wife, mom to two boys. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. My trade is CPA. But recently I'm adding to my resume with part-time teacher, lunch lady, janitor, and then, you know, travel booker, as well. So that's kind of where I've landed.
Exactly. And so, and you know, to me, she has the best of both worlds, because, and I discovered this, I actually stayed in her beautiful home, that is in Florida and last summer, and through emails, we've kind of gotten to know each other and I think felt like we were kind of kindred spirits. And so she really lives the best of both worlds, because tell them the two places that you have homes. Actually, you have three homes, I guess. But
we live full time in Colorado, about 30 minutes outside of Boulder. And so that's where we live. My dad, a few years ago, moved to Bradenton, Florida. And so my husband and I decided to purchase two rental properties. And so we have a beach condo on Anna Maria Island, about an hour south of Tampa, and then another condo, a resort condo with golf course community in Lake Ranch. And then I guess kind of like our fourth home is we do a lot of camping in Colorado and a lot of boating in Colorado during the summer. So we stay camping at our lake. So those are our homes.
Very nice. Very nice. And I mean, they're just, both places are so beautiful. We discovered as we were talking, because I had first planned to go to Florida and stay in your home in, I guess, June. And then, you know, we kept in the beginning, we all thought the pandemic, just give it another month, give it another month, give it another month. We thought this would end a lot quicker than it has. So I ended up going in July. And in the meantime, I had my son moved to Broomfield, which is 15, I think, minutes from Boulder, mm-hmm. as well. And so he's there, and I went out, did a road trip as he moved and went out there with him. And then literally the moment I flew back, got off the plane, got in a car, and then went to Anna Maria Island. So, I mean, you have the beautiful lakes and the mountains and all the things that Colorado is, and then I just really did fall in love with this area of Florida. I grew up going to Destin. Well, actually, I grew up going to Panama City when I was young, and then took my children to Destin, and always kind of stayed on that northern part of the Gulf and didn't really get into the western coast until last year. And ever since I've been there, I started in Clearwater and St. Petersburg, and this year went to Fort Myers and Anna Maria Island and Sarasota. And now, you know, I just love that area. And that area is definitely warm enough to go and enjoy yourself in the winter.
So. Absolutely. And it was you know, upper 80s. We were just there, you know, end of October, and still warm, beautiful, swimming in the ocean, no problem. Beautiful weather.
Beautiful, yes. And so, so you know, we always kind of do a check-in about how COVID is affecting things. And, you know, first of all, I just want to talk about how it has affected you with your children in school, because I think this is something people, you know, are experiencing probably all over the world, is a lot of people are trying to make sure their kids are getting the education they need remotely. So in this case, tell them what you did recently with your children and just the wonderful experiences. And I'm going to add, there'll be photos that you'll be able to see of some of the things she's going to talk about. But what was school like with you and your children recently?
Yes. Well, we started off the year in Colorado 100% remote. So really what that involved was the kids on Monday through Thursday, they'd have about 6 classes online per day. So they're logging in and out of WebEx meetings. And then Friday was more, they had one meeting and they had to go online. They still had to do some work on Friday as well. So what happened is we decided, you know, we're not going to go back to school. I mean, it looks like that. I want to take 3 weeks and go to Anna Maria Island, go hang out on the beach, do some remote learning, and make lemonade out of lemons. You know, when else are we going to have this awesome experience? So we decided to go to Florida. And then, of course, a week before we left, everything's all planned out. We get the notice that we're going to move to hybrid schedule the day that we are headed to Florida. And a hybrid schedule means you go to school, the kids would go to school 2 times a week. And then, so it's only half the class, like on Monday. The other half on Monday, they're logging in remotely. Tuesday, we switch around. So you have the kids that were logging in remotely, they're going to, you know, actually go in person. So they alternate days of going in. So I had to kind of work with the school district, because the idea was if you didn't want to be in a hybrid learning, you had to elect to go all online learning for the rest of the quarter. Which I thought the kids, I really want them to experience their friends and such. And it turned out we'd only be missing really 5 days of school because we had fall break. So we got that passed. So going into online learning at Florida is we had our condo and the days that we, you know, they'd log in, but we do pool breaks. So we had a 15-minute break. The kids would jump in their swimsuits and they'd go to the pool and they'd swim there. Oldest son, Skyler, he would take classes online by the pool while Chase and I were swimming. Furthermore, we had an opportunity. My brother came out with us at the beginning of the trip, and his best friend is literally a rocket scientist. Yeah. And he invited us to come see one of his rocket launches in Cape Canaveral, which is about a 3-hour drive. You drive across the state. And we only had the night before, and the kids were like, we want to go see this, we want to go see this. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity. We're in Florida. And I said, you guys are going to have to log in on our hotspot and do classes, you know, on our way back. So we woke up at 3 a.m, got in the car, my brother and my boys and I, my husband was still working at that point in time in Colorado. We drove 3 hours, but we got to see a rocket launch. From Cape Canaveral. And then we got to have lunch with my brother's friend. And we got to talk about, you know, how do the scientists work on, you know, preparing for the rocket launch, and how many teams go into it, and what kind of effort does it take? And I thought it was a little bit funny because my youngest son goes, well, that's it. We drove 3 hours for that. It literally doesn't last long. But I think it's something they'll really remember. And we went to Kennedy Space Center afterwards. And, I have, you know, pictures of my kids logging in from the cafe in the Kennedy Space Center, to their class. And then, you know, they went ahead and we toured the Kennedy Space Center. And on the way back, we used our hotspot, and, my other son was in the car doing remote learning, from the car.
So, right. I think that's so, I'm such a believer in, I mean, that's just one of many examples of how educational travel is. And, you know, they could sit and read about this in books all day or even watch a video, but to actually be there and hands-on, I think that's something they'll always remember.
Mm-hmm. And we got to share it with the class too. I sent it off to the teachers because there's, of course, everybody can see each other on Skype and their WebExes. And they're like, well, what are you doing? He's like, I'm driving back from Cape Canaveral. We went saw a rocket launch. So the next day the kids actually got to, you know, share with their classmates the pictures that we took and what it was like. And it just so happened my first grader was learning about sound waves. And it was amazing to just describe the way the rocket was and like how you could feel it rumble the earth. And yet, you know, the speed of light is so much more than the speed of sound. So I feel like it was a home run with my first grader.
That is so cool. And again, yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part of teaching. When I taught high school, I'm teaching at a university now, everything's online, but when I taught high school, I would take students, on trips in the U.S. and also abroad. And I just, so many of them, even after they graduate, you know, I'll talk to them on social media and they'll say, remember when we did that trip to so-and-so? And I just think that's a great experience, such an educational experience. So that's mm-hmm. super cool. So, you know, for those people, well, first of all, I always like to also ask this question. So what is it like where you are now, because now you're back home, just, you know, temperature wise, climate wise versus where you were just what, a week ago?
Yeah. Oh geez. Well, Colorado has been on fire. We have record fires this year. So we went from spending 3 weeks in Florida in the high 80s, high humidity, beautiful weather. And we came back to low humidities, upper 70s. But within 3 days of landing, it snowed 8 inches. So, and it's, right now it's, record cold, broke a record for cold. So it's about 8 degrees. But there is something, even though with the temperature difference, we have this beautiful, fluffy, white, powdery snow that glistens in the sun. So very definitely very different, but has a different type of beauty as well.
Oh, absolutely. My son, I told him, I wrote him and said, now when you get this snow, I hear you're going to get, please zoom and let me see it. And it's beautiful. And again, it was funny because I was there again to see him 2 weeks ago. And literally 2 weeks later is when you get 8 inches of snow. And 2 weeks ago, it was 82 degrees. We were sitting outside on Pearl Street, listening to live music. And you know, and when I looked at the weather report, when you're talking about the record lows, well, first, when I got back, the fire, the really, they were already having all these fires, but mm-hmm. the huge one that, you know, that was near, I guess, Fort Collins, or, and then the one yep. that near Boulder, and they were evacuating people. And I just couldn't believe it because I had just been there. I had just posted about Boulder and all that was going on. And then I saw where the, I think it was Sunday that his temp was, it was going to go from 60 degrees the next night to 6. And yesterday when he was showing me snow, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, it was like 7 degrees. So crazy.
And Colorado's known for that because, you know, next week we'll be back up to 70s and the snow will melt. So that's one thing we've heard is Colorado always has the beautiful snow. It's not something where it snows and stays around.
Yeah.
you know, for several months. And the fires were so bad that we actually had our pilot on our plane come on over the intercom and tell us that's from the wildfires. There's nothing wrong with the plane. We're not on fire, but that's how heavy the smoke was. And a lot of people, even our friends were like, are you sure you want to come back? Like we can't even breathe this year because of the fires. Yeah. And it really just has not been that case in previous years.
Yeah, it's extreme. I mean, I couldn't believe the pictures I saw. But the day that I left, the wind had gotten really high, and it worried me a little bit because you all had some previous fires, and I thought wind is never a good thing.
No, and that's where the fires exploded, especially. And there's the East Troublesome Fire was the one that it grew from like 18,000 acres up to like 150,000 acres in 24 hours because of the winds.
Yeah, the wind was so high that day, I felt like it was moving the car on the mm-hmm. highway. And, you know, we were going to sit outside and the dust and sand, you know, grit was like flying in your face. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty intense. Yeah. So, And I, you know, hopefully, have they gotten that more under control as of at all? Did the
Definitely.
Snow
with the snow, it's helped the firefighters a lot and the low temperatures. You would think with maybe, you know, 9 inches of snow or so that it might be out, but it's not out. There's still hot spots. But I think as of yesterday, they had contained the East Troublesome Fire by 15%, which is good. And then also a few of the other large fires have significantly, that it gave the firefighters a chance for a little bit of a break and to get a little bit of humidity in there. So sure. Much better off now.
Much better off now. So I want to talk some more about, because, you know, at least I'm in Tennessee and, you know, people, it seems like in the East, they're going to be more likely probably to do a road trip. Now, a lot of people I knew did road trips out to Colorado this summer. But, you know, Florida has just always been kind of a place that people around here like to go. And as I said, so many people I know tend to just want to go to Destin every time, or, you know, maybe Disney World. But I think your area is so beautiful. And so just maybe tell them, you know, first of all, those people that maybe have some, you know, concerns about the safety and all of that right now, what was it like when you were just there?
Yeah. So getting there, I was a little worried because also kind of the day we were traveling is when Florida basically went to full reopening. And so I was a little concerned being, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, we don't have to wear masks or people won't be wearing masks? But when we got there, you know, everybody, all the airports, the restaurants, every place that we went into, they all were requiring masks. But outside eating, I mean, is when you got down, you could sit down, you don't have to have your mask on. Tons of outside seating for live music, for cocktails, for drinks. And so it was very nice to see that you can be selective and do what is comfortable for you. Is how I saw everything there. There was one night we had an adults night. My dad, who lives in Florida, watched the grandkids, and we went kind of out to the bars. And there was one bar that I felt we went in, and there was no social distancing, no mask. And I was like, not for us. So I just turned around and walked out of there. But other than that, I felt very safe, and that people were really respectful of one another.
Yeah, when I was there in July, I felt like it was so not crowded compared to what I'm used to when I go to Florida. And we ate out every meal, and everyone had masks, you know. So yeah, it was quiet, but it was nice. You know, people were spread out on the beaches. So I mean, everybody has to do what they feel comfortable, but you know, we felt really very comfortable there. So, and loved it. So how has this affected though, from the standpoint of you being an owner?
Yeah, well, in April was kind of, March is in lockdown, and they actually said no more short-term vacation rentals in Florida. And so what that meant is nobody could be there longer than 30 days. And as you can imagine, our busy season is January through like the end of April is peak season. And people will schedule their vacations and their snowbird stays a year in advance. So late March is kind of some of the snowbirds were checking out, and I was in contact. We had a couple snowbirds checking in April. And, you know, really it was, I was like, I don't know if you guys want to come. They're closing down amenities. So we kind of switched our business plan. So I started marketing to, you know, anybody who was relocating to Florida or was having a house built type of thing that, you know, they sold their house. And it worked out. So I kind of treat my business with a golden rule. You're not able to come, like 100% refund, no questions asked. You know, I also offered, I said, hey, if you want to keep your reservation and we can move it out, you know, I'd love to do that for you too. And, you know, we can work on if the rates change or something, we'll give you extra days. I was able, lucky enough to find, somebody who was relocating to Florida for one of our condos. And for another one, I ended up finding somebody who was having a house being built. So they were able to come in and, have rentals. So that was kind of the change in the business model. And then later on, late May is kind of when things started, you know, new restrictions. So it was more following, you know, the CDC guidelines for cleaning, or, you know, pillows had to be put away, or there's increase in you know, amount of dishes you do and surfaces that you touch and clean. And a lot of it, I felt like, again, is everybody's safety, what do you want to call it? Precautionaries, it differs, you know, whatever they want to do. So it was allowing people to, if they didn't feel safe, have that in my clause for my rental agreements that they can back out. Something enough where it's fair for them, but also fair for me so that I can, you know, re-rent the place. Everything.
And that, and I really appreciated you working with us, because we were, you know, kind of worried and moved it out later, and we're really glad that, I mean, because when we were there, the weather was perfect. It was just beautiful. So for those people who are thinking about coming down and renting this winter, what would be, so you said that, I know we talked and you said there's sometimes scams. So how do people protect themselves from, especially when they're renting from, you know, supposed owners, how do they do that?
Yeah. So I think definitely what you want to do is you want to go on to the county website and see who owns the property. Keep in mind, anybody can do this. So anybody could be posing as an owner, but there should be no issues with, you know, providing a utility statement, asking for proof of ownership. I'm more than happy, and usually I try to educate my new snowbirds of like, hey, here's what you should ask for, and here's what you should make sure it's included. So I think that is key. A utility bill is always a good one. Mm-hmm. And also a trusted site. So there's several sites like Florida Vacation Rental by Owners. They actually do, we have to provide proof of ownership to them. It doesn't always guarantee everything, but if somebody's trying to ask you, you know, hey, send me money, or my site's not quite up yet, well, then just take a minute back and say, you know, if it doesn't feel good, it's probably not good. And then I always recommend pay via credit card. Don't do Venmo, PayPal. Do something you can dispute with your credit card company if it is a scam.
Okay. Tell them, since on that particular site that you're on, tell them about the award that you got this year.
Oh, we got most popular, voted most popular rental with over 40,000 views. And Cindy, thank you too, because I know your blog, you got a link to our site, and so I'm sure that helped as well. And it's really been fun to be able to share our little slice of paradise with you and with everybody else.
Yes, I loved it. And I'll link to that again, and people could see the little video and see, you know, I loved waking up and going out onto your, you know, your porch, and you know, there's dolphins out there. It's just beautiful. It's and then right across the road on the other side is the beautiful beach. And I just loved it. I loved being able to walk most places. You know, we didn't even really need a car, and it was great. So for those people that, like me, that would one day just absolutely love to relocate to Florida, or I know of people that are kind of looking and, you know, thinking they would love to get a vacation home there as well. So are there any deals left? Are there, you know, how did you even go about finding a good deal there?
Well, the market's pretty hot right now, because I think people are sick of their own homes and looking to get out. So, but I do think there probably are still deals, and who knows what will come up in the next few months. What I found is typically we're going into peak season. And again, peak season is January through April. That's when you get the most rental income as an owner. And that's when prices are going to be the highest, because people want to relocate. They want to get out of the cold. So I kind of feel like a better time, and again, I'm not a realtor, so I'll of course talk to a realtor, but I think it's usually May, June, and July, is, you know, probably a good time to buy, as well as kind of when you're looking around, would be a good time, for, you know, I think if you do want to do a rental, you want to make sure you're looking into, there's a lot of restrictions on rentals. So some communities only allow monthly rentals. Some communities only allow like seasonal rentals, type of thing. So I think really look into what that community has to offer and what's allowed by the HOA rules when you're going through.
And so what were some, I know you mentioned some things that you can do if somebody is going to try to start, you know, renting part of their well, their property. So what would be some, for those people, tips?
Well, pitchers sell. So I think having some good pictures of your place, but not deceiving pictures. Definitely make sure people are getting, you know, what they're paying for. But pictures are good. And along with that is I hired a decorator, and I really feel like that made the difference. It makes it feel warm and inviting, and people are going to want to stay there. So sometimes a decorator, unless you've got a good eye for it, I think is well worth the money. You know, and I think too, if you want to make a business out of it, is you have to go find renters. They're not always going to come to you. So if you put a little effort into it, I think there's more reward for you and for your renters. You know, by going out and making sure it's something, if you'd want to stay there, somebody else is going to want to stay there. And then also what I did start out, and I hired a big kind of box firm, a rental agency. I wasn't really happy with their performance. We tried calling on the weekend and they didn't answer calls. Not that I'm always 100% right there on top of it, but you know, if somebody has a problem or inquiry, I try to, you know, respond to that, back them very timely. But I noticed, you know, they only take cash payments. They don't have, you know, DocuSign. So if you're looking, maybe look for a rental management company or just yourself, look into like going to the next level, because I think we're moving to a more electronic and digital world. And credit card payments, I'm sorry, credit card fees are kind of just a part of doing business in my mind. So if somebody doesn't take credit cards, especially these snowbird rentals, you're talking $5,000 to $7,500 per month. A lot of snowbirds could do, you know, a lot of holiday shopping if they have those points on their credit cards.
Sure. That's a great point. Is there an advantage to longer rentals? Do you get a better deal when you, you know, go down for a month as opposed to a week, or?
Well, there's two different areas. So you have inland, there's resort communities. So things like golf course, country clubs. And what you're going to see is, like, for example, our place in Esplanade rents out for nearly $5,000 a month during peak season. But during the off season, it's about half that. So $2,500. And so you're looking at the peak of summer, the heat. September is usually a slower month. So it really cuts the price about in half for rental prices. So if you're looking for a good deal, if you are okay having, you know, the cold winter months wherever you live at home, you can get more bang for your buck later on in the year. Now for a lot of the beach places like Anna Maria Island, you know, again, peak season, about $5,000 a month for our condo. But during the summer, because a lot of there's 1 week vacation travelers, you know, it's still equivalent there. You know, where you could probably get some good deals is like the September through October timeframe on the island for monthly stays, because typically there's less wear and tear on your condo for monthly renters.
Sure. And also I wanted you to mention some of the just outdoors things that you do with your family and you suggest people do. You guys do lots of, you know, nature and outdoor things.
Oh my goodness. We absolutely love, there was the Sarasota mangrove tours, and you rent these kayaks, and we didn't even do it like on a tour or anything, but you rented a kayak and you got to go through these mangroves. It was amazing. And the kids saw like these little crabs in the trees, and we saw dolphins, like really like 3 feet in front of us. And there was these cute little pelicans going down. So we just did a kayak tour. And we'll definitely be doing a lot more of those, which is, it was just a lot of fun. You know, there's lots of things you can do outside too. There's a lot of nature preserves nearby. So there's a Robinson Nature Preserve near Anna Maria Island. Highly recommend it. There's great walking paths, just very scenic and beautiful. There's, of course, walking the beach and shelling. So lots of great activities. You know, the sunset cruises and dolphin tours. I can never get enough of those. We probably do those once, you know, probably six times a year when we go visit all together. Yeah. But there's just a lot to do. There's parasailing. You can rent boats. You can do some deep sea fishing. So there's lots of opportunities to go out and do things and be part of nature. I got rained on walking in the mornings. But I got to tell you, it was just part of the experience. It was like three times in my hour walk that I got rained on. But I had a blast. I got a lot of exercise in, which I think was really good. And that was wonderful to have that little break before it came back to the Colorado snow.
Sure. Yeah. It's, yeah, I love it there. And I, you know, as the weather is going to be more temperate, you know, in the now, in the fall and the winter, it's a beautiful place to be for sure. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that they might need to know in terms of either coming down, renting a place, or maybe even relocating or buying a place.
Well, I think on Anna Maria Island, the things that I can think of is there's two hot spots, really. So there is Bridge Street, which is on the southern end of the island. And okay. Then there's Pine Avenue on the northern part of the island. So both areas have restaurants. They have neat, like, little donut places. You can go, you know, do donuts, bars, rental places. And then there's actually the very tip of the island, there's Bean Point, which is absolutely beautiful. I know for there can be some currents in there, so be careful swimming. But those are the two main hot spots. And then, I mean, really anywhere along the island is just absolutely beautiful. But there's some places, if you want to do a lot of walking distance, being near one of those streets is very nice. But a lot of other people, you know, in between, you can walk to many places and see many great restaurants and such.
I loved the Bridge Street area because it was so close to your condo and you can just walk right under the bridge and you're there. And I love oysters, so I got those. And I love live music. And it was... I really like that area a lot. And it wasn't as crowded as the other end, I thought, of the island, which I like. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. So, well, this has been great. And I really appreciate just everything you've said. I know you have traveled a lot. You might mention some places you've been. But I got to say, when it comes to beaches, it's going to be hard to be where you have your home. But some other places you've been would be where?
Oh, geez, I've gone to Spain, Panama Canal, Portugal, Ireland, Ireland, British Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands. We sailed the Caribbean for 2 weeks back in 2008. But yeah, the Anna Maria Island beaches are top-notch, and the sunsets are amazing. Absolutely amazing.
They are. So I guess the last thing I always like to ask is I ask all the guests, you know, if you were to give advice to a 20-something child or niece or nephew or whatever, just about choices you've made as to living your life, the importance of travel, what would you say?
I think probably the biggest one is work hard to play hard, but take adventures. There's going to be things that pop up that don't go your way, and look at it as an adventure rather than a challenge. So kind of like what we did for Florida. Okay. We're going to go to, we're 100% online for school. Let's go to Florida for 3 weeks. Why not? We have the opportunity. There's lots of other things in your life that you can take that philosophy of go take an adventure, a lot more, specifically, I think, you know, you can enjoy your career, but don't focus solely on your career so much that you don't take time to enjoy life now. Tomorrow's not promised. So find that good balance between if you really want to focus on your career, but also being able to go travel and experience, because I think you'll appreciate coming home so much more. And you're working hard to go have those experiences, to be with your family, even yourself, go meet strangers. I think that's important. So find a good balance and don't put traveling off till you retire.
Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. It's been so good seeing you again. And, you know, and that's another thing I was going to mention. I think that sometimes people love, you know, getting to know the homeowners, and they want to go back to those places because, you know, I'm sure you have a family down there in Florida that you, people that you know and see and look forward to seeing, other than your dad, who is, you know, your real family. But yeah.
And our snowbirds, we have repeat snowbirds, and they have become kind of like family, and we text message them. And I met up with one of our snowbirds, her sister, to drop off a dog crate that she needed while we were there that they had left in our condo. So it's been really fun to make connections. And recently we just added a guest book in there. so people can read about the fun times that people have had. And so that's something we haven't done, but we decided we really enjoy these personal relationships that we get to learn from and people we get to meet, and to be able to share that with everybody.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And you have a great rest of the fall. And hopefully we'll talk soon, and I'll get to Florida soon again.
Sounds great. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.